CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's all happening. It's just after 6 o'clock. Yes, we are live. And Pinky is just barely alive, but we made her take off her jacket because it was making this funny noise on her microphone. And now the poor woman's freezing to death.
Can't feel my face, can't feel my hands.
You can't feel anything. She's basically numb. Poor Pinky. We are doing the show this morning with the Burning Platform from 7 o'clock. And Sia is in his house. I'm in mine, Pinky's in hers. And Mbulelo is in the studio along with Fundo running things from a technical point of view. Good morning, everybody. Yes.
Busy morning.
It is a busy morning. We've got quite a lot to do. I've actually got a busy day today, which I'm kind of looking forward to. Yesterday wasn't very busy. And then, you know, I had the show last night, which was a big deal. We premiered the first episode of our new show on ENCA, which seems to have gone down well. I got really good feedback. There were one or two people who said, you know, they wanted a bit more and, you know, why don't you kind of get a little more vicious and hardcore and all that stuff. And, you got to start slowly with these things. If you start too hard, it's going to put people off. And I don't want to scare people away who might be interested in the show but might already have preconceived notions of me and being opinionated and all the rest of it. And frankly, the show's not about me. It's really about our guests, and we have fantastic, fantastic guests lined up. I mean, we've been talking to people overseas who really, some of them you've heard on this show before, but others who you haven't even heard before, and that we are now, because it's TV, they'll be willing to do it. You know, some people, TV's got this magic to it that you can almost always get who you want on TV. Much harder to get people for a radio show. But I'm very excited. So thanks to everybody who tuned in and watched, and thank you to the president for doing our pre-roll.
I mean, I was a little ticked off when I heard that announcement.
I wasn't upset at all. It was almost like the universe had manifested the most perfect storm for us, because as I was saying to Bulelo when we were getting ready for the show this morning, everybody, even if you don't like the president, even if you're not interested in what he says normally, everybody's tuning into his announcements around the lockdown because it affects all of us, right? So it's the only thing that some people who don't have TVs even will find a way to watch, because it really does impact them. I mean, you've got hairdressers and restaurants now who are coming online slowly. In fact, let me just give you that update so that you know what's going on, because you might have missed it all.
But I was just hoping he was rama punctual.
Well, he was, and he finished in time. I mean, we would have started straight away if they didn't have to do that, you know, summation, which they always do on a news channel. And then we started at 9 instead of 8:30, but that's not so bad. So it was delayed by half an hour, but we got the benefit of all those people who would have been watching the president and might have stayed, which is excellent, you know, so it's good for ratings. I think we'll come through with a monster of a first show, and now the hard work is going to be to keep those audiences up. So we've just got to keep on improving things and getting better and better. Just quickly, here are the changes to level 3. Restaurants for sit-down meals are allowed to open up again with limited capacity. That's really good news. I have been, I'm sure you have too, I've just been devastated for people who own restaurants, people in that kind of business who've just been unable to ply their trade for such a long time. Also, personal care services, including hairdressers. Conferences can reopen for work purposes, which is good news because there's a whole conferencing industry.
I was surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I'm glad though. And of course, they'll have people spaced out and, you know, sitting far apart and all that kind of thing. But it'll, for a lot of businesses, this is the way that they communicate with their staff, frankly. So it's good. Commercially licensed accommodation, but not Airbnb. So if you have an Airbnb, you're not allowed to open that yet. But hotels and, you know, people who are doing, again, business travel will be allowed to stay in hotels. Cinemas, theaters, and casinos are opening with limited capacity. I don't know that casinos were such a priority, but I do, again, know that many businesses in this country rely on casino operations to make most of their money, including like Tsoho Sun and Sun International. And then non-contact sports, including golf and tennis. But I think those already started at the beginning of this week, or if not last week. So there we go. That's the latest level three regulation changes. But I don't know why we're still in level three, frankly. And then the president did what he has done for the last couple of days and took his opportunity to give us all lessons in washing our hands and, you know, wearing masks and stuff.
Being
most
a billionaire.
Being a billionaire.
How did he teach us to be a billionaire, Mbulelo?
Ah, just by being there. Hey, guys, I'm very rich.
Mbulelo is very resentful of other people's money, clearly.
Absolutely.
He's a leader, eh?
Absolutely not.
I don't understand where that comes from. But in summary, as I saw a tweet last night, the president just basically said, there we go.
Yeah.
Everyone go out. You'll just deal with it when you get the virus.
Well, that's it. And then there was this good news from Oxford University that they're developing a steroid, which may be a possible treatment for COVID and seems to help people on ventilators. So that's good news. So all around, a pretty exciting night, certainly for me and Sia, who's now also a TV producer.
Look, this might be boring to some people to state, but this is like odd hard work.
Mm. Yeah.
For the recording of the show, I was in the control room as opposed to you in the actual studio. And I counted 13 people.
Yeah.
Who were all in one room, and there's just someone solely dedicated to making sure you have the autocue and the script in front of you. Then there's someone I think there were two people who were just dedicated on lights. And you would think, come on, just, you know, putting the lights on. No, it's to make sure that the lights, are they warm enough, they say, and, you know, are they, you know, hitting the right corners of your face? I think this is a lot of work.
It's a big deal. It's a really big deal, and it's difficult to do. There are any number of things that can go wrong, and TV. So there's such a lot of pressure, man. That's why I also don't worry. I'll relax into it because I got a lot of comments from people who know me and people who listen to this show, because you do know me if you listen to this show, and people saying you seemed very tense. You seemed like you weren't relaxed, and of course I wasn't relaxed. It was the first show. I'm not superhuman. I might have done a lot of TV in my life, but my God, it still frightens the hell out of me when those cameras come on. You have to remember all the stupid stuff, like you have to turn here and face this camera and then this light. It's just, you know.
It's like so many things.
It's, you see, this is also why I've been not so excited to go back to TV for the longest time, and I've been waiting for the right project to actually get back in there. And this is the right project. This is something I care about. And it's the kind of show that I feel I can make a difference in. So,
and I'm also really pleased that we have a great team who's working with us and putting this together. But for the final edits yesterday afternoon, they were so particular. Like they were going through every single second of that tape, going, okay, no. Actually, we need visuals of people protesting, but wait, it must be emotive. You know, no, it's 3 seconds too long. Chop it up a little more. I'm like, oh, okay, so alrighty then.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I'm just really appreciative. So if you tuned in, and if you decided that you're going to watch this show again, then thank you. I'm not going to turn this show into a discussion of the TV show every day, that I can promise you. But it's just something worth remarking on as we enter a new kind of chapter, because it really is a continuation in some ways of what we do here. And the two are going to work hand in hand. So if you watch the TV show, you'll know what's going on this show. And if you listen to this show, you'll know even more. So thanks.
Yeah. And if you missed it, it will be on YouTube this morning.
Ah, very good point. Yes, it will be on YouTube for those people who don't have DSTV. Wow. A lot of my friends do not watch DSTV. And frankly, you know, I've said before, I don't really watch TV, because unless it's news, I'm not a big TV viewer. It's amazing, though, how many people said to me, hey, listen, we don't have DSTV. Is there another way we could watch? I was like, yes, actually, that's something that we've taken into consideration. All right. So first things, we've got to address something that came up last week. We got a lot of emails from people saying, We have seen what Pinky looks like. We don't know what this nonsense is that she says weight gain. It's rubbish. People don't believe you. So Pinky says, following her weight gain concerns, she started working out. How's that going?
It's not going too well. I mean, I don't know how people do it. Hey? I have so much respect for people that work out like 3 times a week or even 2x a week.
Yeah.
Or actually 1x a week is also quite a lot right now.
So basically, getting off your couch is a lot, Pinky.
Oh, no, it's a lot. And I mean, I cut myself so much slack. You know, like I'll watch a video and maybe we have to do like 2 reps. I'll do like 1. I'll be like, yeah, no, you've done enough. You can take a breather.
Are you watching what, like some fitness expert online?
Yes, I am. I'm watching like a couple of videos, but there was this one lady I was following, but I've stopped watching her videos because I feel like she has no mercy.
Right.
And now I'm looking for people who are taking it slower, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a serious struggle. Bulelo, like big ups to you and 3 a.m. runs.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I'll admit right up front, there's no way I can do that. I've been trying very hard too, Pinky, and it's the self-discipline that it requires. Oh. And it's damned hard.
And I mean, it would be great if you could see the results maybe after 2 days just to keep you motivated. But there's nothing. There's no results.
You look in the, and that scale helps you not a single bit. You look at that scale and it's like, oh my God, no progress at all. The scale doesn't help. And then you look in the mirror and you're like, I've still got that goddamn stomach. That, what do I call it? It's a gunt.
Oh. I think, Pinky, you should pair up with Mbulelo and it will be killing 2 birds with 1 stone.
Oh,
we'll be
goodness.
Losing weight and it will be like a team building exercise.
Are you
go and train with Mbulelo.
I'll come through if you are.
So I run in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So we work out in the morning, run in the afternoon. Gabana.
So you're running later today?
Indeed.
Whew, okay. We'll talk. I'll check my diary and I'll get back to you.
I don't believe she will.
She'll find a way to weasel out. I know I will.
Yes.
No, I choose happiness. Mm. I don't have expectations of anybody ever.
Pinky will end up saying, oh, sorry, my phone is set on 3 p.m. Chilean time.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to pick up my kids.
Oh. To pick up your kids.
The kids you don't have.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it.
I don't see it happening for you at all.
Well, there are a few things that have also come up in the last couple of days because it's been so absolutely terrifyingly cold. So we spoke about the Free State last week, and Pinky was saying she misses the Free State because of its cold weather, and she misses the cold. I hope you're satisfied now. You definitely got what you asked for.
I am so happy. I found myself speaking Afrikaans yesterday, and I knew.
That's when you know you're cold, right?
I knew.
Yeah. So Pinky,
I'm super happy.
So I mean, that's interesting because I got videos from those friends of mine who live in the Free State, and they sent me videos of these pipes, the water pipes. And I mentioned that one of my friends lives on a farm, and he is not allowed to use his water until lunchtime because the pipes have to thaw out, and if he tries to turn on the water before then, his pipes will burst.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, and I got these videos yesterday of people opening up those irrigation pipes, and then literally these starves of water come out. These long tubes of frozen ice that are in the pipes. It's scary, man. Like meters and meters of the stuff as you open up the pipe and kind of release it. It's incredible. And Mbulelo taught me something yesterday when he said that, you know, in the Alps you have to, when you're in one of these ski resorts or whatever, you have to keep the taps alive. So you have to keep them dripping. It's just, it's amazing how people have over centuries worked out how to how to survive in horrible temperatures and horrible places. It's really quite something.
Yeah. And I mean, I still think it's not that bad. It is cold, but it's not that bad.
What?
There's been far colder winters.
This is a Free State girl talking, Sia. I know Sia's horrified. He's like, Jesus, what are you, insane?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have resorted to now fully getting dressed in the bathroom after a bath or shower.
Me too.
Because I'm still in the warmth.
Yeah.
And then at least I open up the door and that cold hits you, man.
Ooh. That's like the best feeling after a shower.
Are you insane?
You know what? I'm gonna.
You know how dry my skin is right now? I feel like a mummy from ancient Egypt.
I think he's not okay.
My skin
Let's
is so
all accept that.
Sometimes your skin gets so dry you can almost scratch on the word dry. You remember that ad? That's how I feel at the moment. Ugh, it's horrible. And I know I look like shit as well. There's no amount of moisturizer in the world that could save me right now.
Not even camphor cream.
Not even. How did that go? Hands, knees, heels, and elbows.
And elbows.
No, nothing will save me now, I'm afraid.
Ingrams protects heels and elbows.
That's the one. Oh, Jesus.
I love that ad.
Well, I didn't walk around in a blanket yesterday like I said I would because I tried it and I looked like I was doing cosplay for Star Wars. So I gave up on that pretty quickly.
And it also
felt like such an idiot.
It also is the beginning of a very slippery slope. I mean, there's nothing. It's right up there in terms of what is pathetic. If you catch yourself in the mirror looking like that, it's like, ooh.
I had an electrician here yesterday who was busy fixing a whole lot of lights. Because what I've decided to do is I'm not handing over money to Eskom unnecessarily, right? So I decided I'm going to get the electrician to come and replace all my light bulbs that can be replaced with LEDs that burn at a much higher intensity, but they are much less power heavy, right? So you save power essentially. And this guy was, he had like a team. He had these two people with him. So there were three people in my house. I couldn't even walk around in slippers and things. I had to get properly dressed because I don't want to be embarrassed. You know, that someone, the one guy was like, also, you know, yeah, you're on TV. So this is why I hate television. This is why I hate it. Because, you know, secretly, you have to maintain yourself even when you're not maintaining yourself. So that was irritating.
Yeah, you can't slouch around.
No, and you can't exactly crawl back into bed like Sia was saying he was going to do yesterday. Anyway, you know, these are the tough decisions we have to make on a daily basis.
These are the problems. These are the problems.
Yes.
And Mbulelo, you are the definition of sympathetic, right?
Yeah, of course. Mr. Empathy himself.
See, listen.
If his mother hadn't taught him the theory of empathy, he would still not be able to do it.
Taught him? He created the theory of empathy.
No. His mother had to teach him that. There's no natural empathy in him. I know, because I'm similar.
I have a soft, caring heart. I have idea what you're talking about,
soft,
Mr. Big
caring.
Time TV guy.
Yeah, soft, caring heart.
Look at that! Your tone changed. Your face scrunched up differently. I would be so disappointed in telling you something. You know, I let it be known. I will never, ever. I would rather talk to a cardboard box about my problems than come to you.
You've done well. You've saved us both time.
A cardboard box would be better. Would talk back with a little more care and consideration. Anyway, listen. It's Father's Day on Sunday, and Father's Day we all know is Black Twitter's least favorite day. No, I'm not being horrible. This is the truth. We know this already. And for obvious reasons, right? Because we have in this country, we've spoken about it more times than I can count on the show, because I care about this issue. I do think it is a problem which we need to address in South Africa. It's the root cause of so much of the social difficulty that we experience as a nation. And we even brought it up on the TV show last night. It's something that Pumi cares about as much as me. And by the way, someone said it was nice to see Pumi because they've been listening to the show for a long time and now they know what she looks like. But we've had Craig Wilkinson on. We've done a series with ABSA about, you know, raising young men who have the right examples. But for many people, like, Father's Day is not a thing. And I totally understand that. For many fathers, it's not a thing. And it's difficult because we have such a strange relationship with fathers in South Africa. So if you have a dad, it's not really just about, you know, what am I going to do for my father for Father's Day? Just spare a thought for those people who don't even have the opportunity to do anything like that because they don't have a father in their life. And Pinky, didn't your dad tell you that you should contact your deadbeat grandfather?
I am already dreading that. I actually haven't made
Are you going to do it?
I don't think I want to. I think I'm actually okay not having him in my life because I've lived my entire 27 years without him featuring, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. So he stays in Daveyton.
Yeah.
Yeah, and already that was like, I've never even been there and I don't see myself going there.
But it's like an hour out of Joburg, right? No, not even, like 40 minutes out of Joburg.
Yeah, it's in the south.
Is it in the south? I thought it was in the east, actually.
Daveyton. Towards, on the other side of the airport.
Oh, that is east. Yeah, okay, yeah.
You know that building we haven't been to in months?
Yeah, the airport. Remember that? That was a place where people used to go. So, I mean, I understand that you don't need to see him, but aren't you a little bit curious?
I've heard that he looks exactly like my dad looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
But still, I don't really want to see him, or I don't feel like there's a need.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing perfectly fine without him featuring, you know? And I'm a bit worried. What if I do go and then it opens up that we need money, you know?
Oh,
we need
no. This. Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
But you said he's a deadbeat. So what is that he just hasn't been in anyone's life, or that he's also always asking for money? Because that's a real problem we have to deal with.
So with my dad and my uncles, he just never featured. He was just never there, completely never there. So they still talk once in a while, but with us, with my dad's kids, he's never bothered to know who we are, where we are, or anything of the sort. So I just also don't care. I mean, my life has been fine without him, so I don't find the need or see the need for me to go to him or feature him now.
Well, oh, man. You know what? Good for you. You make the decision.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't have to feel
I think pressure. I've made my decision, actually.
You're not going to do it.
No.
Why ruin your Father's Day?
Yeah, why waste airtime also?
Yeah, absolutely. And you might not even like the dude.
Exactly.
You might get there and he's also drunk.
Oh.
You know, nothing like a deadbeat dad who's also drunk.
Yes.
But your dad and he don't have a relationship, or do they?
No, they don't have a relationship.
But then your dad is telling you need to connect with him. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. I should have told him he should do that.
No. He should set the example first.
You go ahead. Leave me the hell out of this.
Yes.
Oh, man.
It's a tricky one.
That's so difficult for so many people. It's a real South African issue.
Mm.
I don't have any answers, and I wouldn't know where to start if it was my situation.
Yeah. And I mean, he's the last grandparent that I have. So yeah. He was using that line.
It's like a connection. It's like a connection to the last generation there, you know?
Yeah.
But don't feel pressure. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people will say to you, oh, you must. And no, you don't. You don't have to do
it. Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Mm.
Well, I'm concerned because there's quite a lot going on in Twitter because they've now got voice notes. And Twitter was bad enough. I really don't enjoy Twitter. You know this already if you've listened to the show. It's the most horrible application in the world. I don't have it on my phone. And thank God I don't have it on my phone. It's such a nasty piece of work. And there's just ugliness on there. Very few people who I actually want to hear from that I have on Twitter. And the ones that I follow, you know, I get those people on my laptop and that's enough for me. I don't need more than that in a day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
I hear you. Makes sense.
But now they're introducing voice notes. Now you're going to have to hear how horrible people are as well.
Yeah, imagine, you know, some of these spiteful and people who just spit venom in their tweets now responding to you, like cackling in a voice note.
You're going to get of course, it is going to let us hear just how inarticulate so many people on Twitter are. Which I'm excited about because it's going to demoralize and ruin the credibility of even more people, which we need, frankly, because that's welcome.
You know why I like it? I like it, actually.
You like it?
Yeah, because our voice mapping is better than tracking people's location. So now if I can get your voice, our technology is far ahead. So these people that spew vile stuff, it'll be easier to find them now. Voice recognition has actually become brilliant.
Yeah, but what are we going to do once you find them, Bulelo? I mean, these what do you do with people like this? They're not. It's not going to. What, are you going to beat them up?
No. Well, I mean, if we can arrest them, now arrest you can't them. Hide behind the keyboard.
You want to arrest them. What do you want to arrest them for? Some of this stuff isn't actionable. It's just unpleasant.
Well, I mean, people are getting arrested for their work.
Look at you.
He said I'm ugly.
Yeah. Look at you, Stalin. You really can't wait, eh?
Oh, is being ugly like an insult? I've been doing that since
I don't know, Bulele. You tell me.
I was going to say. Yeah, I've been doing it my whole life.
Oh, you horrible people. Well, yeah, Twitter globally launched this new feature yesterday. It now allows users to tweet out voice notes in place of traditional text posts. So these voice texts, which can be up to 140 seconds of audio.
That's too much.
Are intended to create, in Twitter's words, a more human experience to tweeting. And Twitter says the feature will roll out to all users in the coming weeks.
Are you excited?
Oh, no, that's a podcast. Sorry, I thought
it's
it was
too
like,
long, right?
Yeah, I thought it was 10 seconds. Oh, no, that's a podcast. No, thank you.
Yeah, you know what? When you use the word inarticulate, Gareth, it might have been a little, it might sound a little harsh or dramatic, but I have met some people who I've seen on Instagram in real life, and then you go,
yes.
Okay, you don't look as gorgeous and glamorous as you do online.
Yes.
Now, someone can sound very philosophical and wise
yes,
and in their tweets when you read it, and then you'll hear them and go, ugh.
Hello, everyone.
And then you suddenly think, Jesus, why does that person sound like a witch?
And I'm not talking about, you know, their accent or whatever. Mm. To your point yesterday, when you said that one of your turnoffs is a high-pitched and squeaky voice, if I would hear that on someone, I think it would really put me off as well.
Definitely.
Oh, so, there's a particular one. So high-pitched Australian.
New Zealand.
That
New
is Zealand, unbearable.
Dude. New Zealand. Man.
Now I want to follow just in the arden.
No, but you see, we're finding this is what we do on the shows. We look at the positive and the negative. We don't just look at the negative stuff. Here, we found a couple of reasons to look forward to this.
And I feel like people are just going to start using this for the sake of, you know, I've never been much of a voice noter, even over WhatsApp.
Yes.
Mulele, I know you are a religious voice noter.
But you've got to be careful. Some people do not want voice notes. And I understand that. Like, voice notes can be extremely invasive. You can't always listen to them, you know, because you've got a day of stuff going on. You've got people around you. And listening to a voice note, especially if it's longer than, and Gord is the worst at this. He sends these podcasts. He does. He sends these long-ass podcasts that are just impossible to listen to. And if you do that, you're being very selfish. It's cruel.
Hey, look, it's going to help us promote our podcast, at least.
Well, no, because if people think podcasts are as boring as those voice notes, they'll never listen.
This is a good point.
No. You've got to be really good to make a powerful voice note. It's not any mug's game, you know. But let's see. Let's see what Twitter does here. Jack Dorsey.
What a guy.
Yo, what a guy.
Okay.
I keep saying, like, Jack, just shut down Twitter, you know. I'd love him to just shut it down. That's never going to happen. What is going to happen is the headlines. Do you want to hear what's going on in the world?
Yes, please.
Lucky you, I have some headlines for you. So, EdCon, who were actually about to become a client of ours back in January. I'm very sad that they're out of business, but they're also serving retrenchment notices to 22,000 employees. You know, when people say, and EdCon we can't blame on the lockdown because they were in trouble before that. But the lockdown obviously was the final straw that broke the camel's back. So South Africa's biggest clothing retailer, EdCon, has served 22,000 people with notices of retrenchment. The retail company's business rescue team on Wednesday said in order to save the retail giant from liquidation, staff numbers needed to be reduced as sales figures continued to tumble. So that's not even all their people.
No, not close. I have it on good authority.
Jesus, it's a big
there's
company.
There's a good chance.
Wow.
Yeah. Gareth, they aren't closing down. I want to tell you right now, I have it from somebody. that somebody's going to rescue, or we're going to have to rescue it, Con.
We are.
I have it on good authority.
We don't have any. No, but I mean, we don't have any money. The people of South Africa are broke.
Yeah, well.
How are we going to rescue? We can't rescue Edcon. We can't even rescue ourselves.
I didn't tell you.
Who are your sources?
How mysterious.
I cannot reveal my sources. A good journalist never, ever reveals a good source.
Okay.
What the James Bond is going on with you?
Yeah, listen to this. This man is full of secrets this morning. He's like James Bond. Well,
you called the Black Roger Moore.
Oh. By whom?
Yeah, no one's ever said that to you. Come on, stop your shit. Black Roger Moore.
Can you the platform? Who?
Black Roger Moore. Bitch, please. All right.
Bitch, please. Who said that? Damn, it was a black actress in Hollywood.
Yes. All right, so in March, they said they were in business rescue, unable to pay their suppliers. In a statement issued by the group, the retail pioneer blamed its demise on COVID-19 and the nationwide lockdown. However, it also acknowledged factors that had contributed to its downfall long before coronavirus gripped the country. Edcon was among the many retail companies in South Africa that faced uncertainty after the industry took a hit during the lockdown, which limited the sale of some clothing items. So that's a horrible, horrible piece of news for the people who work at Edcon. And while we're in horrible news, this is also a horrible story. The 50-year-old suspect accused of murdering Evelyn de Kock on Wednesday pleaded not guilty at the Pretoria Magistrates Court. Clayton Andrews is facing charges of murder, along with the discovery of de Kock's body at the weekend. The body was found in an outside building at her family home in Easterist in Pretoria with stab wounds, multiple stab wounds. The suspect fled to El Dorado Park, but was later arrested on Monday. The state denied Andrews bail and identified him as a flight risk. The matter was remanded to next week. So this is just one more of those femicides that we've been speaking about in the news the last few days, and at least they've managed to find the guy who they think is responsible in this case. It's always scary to me because usually it's people who are known to the dead person. You know, everybody thinks there's this marauding band of people out in the streets who are just looking to kill you or rape you or do something horrible. And there are dangerous people, don't get me wrong. But usually it's someone you actually know. That's scary. The KwaZulu-Natal Department of Social Development, in partnership with eThekwini Municipality on Wednesday, gave the victims of fire incidents at local informal settlements new material to rebuild their informal dwellings. I don't know if you know this, but over 1,000 people became homeless in the last few weeks after several unrelated fires. You know, people are trying to keep warm. A lot of the shacks don't have electricity. And the municipality said the informal dwellings were temporary relief measures. Obviously, you know, these are not places that are fit for human habitation. Neither were the places they were occupied in before. Kolisi Lempungos said over 1,000 people were left homeless after her home in the Enkanini informal settlement in KwaMashu was burnt down during the week. She said she'd lost everything. I don't have clothes, food. I also lost my child's birth certificate. I only have the clothes I'm wearing. Just imagine.
That's really sad.
At this time of year, when it's so cold. Horrible, horrible situation for anyone to find themselves in. And you know, again, like nobody's fault. Obviously, someone, you know, started these fires, but people are just trying to keep warm. It's not like anyone's going and committing arson. It's just horrible that so many people are now left out in the cold in this destitute situation. And they weren't in the greatest place to start with, which we should all be embarrassed about. The French president is visiting London on Thursday to commemorate the 80th anniversary of Charles de Gaulle's BBC broadcast to occupied France after the 1940 Nazi invasion.
The Prince of Wales, Charles, and the Duchess of Cornwall will also meet with Mr. Macron.
Mr. Johnson, that's Boris Johnson, paid tribute to the courage and sacrifice of the fighters. The four men that they're commemorating, Edgar Toupet-Tom, who is 100, Daniel Bouillot-Cordier, who's 99, Hubert Germain, who's 99, and Pierre Simonet, who is 98, are surviving members of the Order of Liberation, an honor given by France to those who played an outstanding role in setting France free. The MBEs.
Was his surname Simonet? We are one.
Simonet, but close. Oh, yes, okay. Close here. So Prince Charles is going to hand over some MBEs, member of the British Empire. He's completely...
Can they have it in their title now?
Yeah, you'd put comma MBE at the end of your name. Mm-hmm. But they've already got this Order of Liberation. So they're probably OL, MBE now.
Fabulous.
Well, at 100, wouldn't you rather not have arthritis than have the MBE?
Why are the only two choices?
Those are your only choices. Mr. Hubert Germain, do you want arthritis or an MBE?
Well, it's very difficult for me to choose. I think I will go with the MBE. I have not had one of those before.
I'm about to kick the bucket. I might as well go out with a fabulous title.
Yes, give me the medal, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Is it not enough I have saved France? Can I not also get rid of this arthritis?
Can it go in your legal documents?
Speaking of, yes, it goes in. Yeah, it's part of your name. Prince Charles has totally recovered from COVID, right? Because he's out there making videos and doing stuff again.
Yeah, probably.
Look, he looked very unpleasant in some of the video clips that he and Camilla have had to post. It was one.
What do you mean? You mean he's not sexy enough for you?
No, he just looked like Charles. He's not having the best of times. I think in the beginning of the lockdown situation, they were trying to push this whole wholesome image of also clapping for healthcare workers. And you can tell his voice is very faint at the start of the video, and it's also just a brief second. But you can tell that they've probably had to rehearse this a lot. It was him and Camille opening the door, their front door, and stepping out onto their porch. And for split seconds, he goes, what's going on here? And then he realizes the camera's on. Then he has to clap now. He goes, okay.
No, he's still totally unnatural in front of the camera. But then, does anybody ever get natural in front of a camera? Even if you were raised in front of it, no.
Yeah, but he's had a tough one because you go from Diana to Camilla Parker Bowles, then you get COVID. Oh, tough break.
You know what? Oh, no. I'm so tired of these people who love Diana more than they love Camilla. I'm like, that's the real love story. Don't get it the wrong way around. The real love story is that his childhood sweetheart, and they were lovers when he was a teenager, he and she got together. Diana was the bump in the road. These two actually love each other.
Sure.
No, really. Yeah, you guys don't see the wood for the trees here.
Sure.
The real love story is Camilla, not Diana. Don't get me wrong. Diana was attractive. She was vivacious. She was stylish. All of those things and she cared about landmines and stuff, which Camilla clearly doesn't. Camilla's like, give me a smoke.
She's like a milky cup of tea, and Diana was like pina colada.
Oh, you know what? You're full of it, because Camilla, there's a real woman right there.
Camilla's a real...
She's a real woman.
I didn't think you were being serious.
She's a natural woman. No, how dare you laugh? She's a natural woman, like Aretha Franklin used to sing about.
So would you look past her big hands?
What do you mean she's big hands? What are you talking about, Sia? What kind of a thing is that to say?
My mind, she just has these big, meaty, meaty paws.
You want to talk about hands? Look at a picture of Prince Charles's hands.
Or Michelle Obama.
It looks like a packet of sausages.
Oh. I can't get that visual out of my head now.
No, really. You need to see a picture of Prince Charles's hands. Guys, I'm not even kidding. Do yourself a favor. Google Prince Charles' hands. His fingers look like a packet of those German Vienna sausages.
I'm still traumatized, still to this day, by their raunchy phone sex tapes.
Yeah, I reckon if Charles has hands like that, maybe he has a big cock, Sia.
Oh, no.
Maybe that's what Camilla's after. Let's imagine she's the sex machine.
Yes.
Behind closed doors. Oh, Charles, I'm so excited that we're alone tonight again.
Thank God for this coronavirus, and all the servants are at home. They're not here. Let's have the house to ourselves. Which room do you want to do it in?
Exactly. I put my life on the line. They have had sex in the barn. They've had sex in one of those royal weapons. Oh, yes. They've had sex in, like, one of those. I'm telling you, they have flipped the palaces up over side and side.
Well, while Sia indulges in the sex life of Camilla and Charles, which is clearly his kink for the morning, we turn our attention to something to do with sex, a letter written by Vincent van Gogh and fellow artist Paul Gauguin describes visits to brothels and discussing the future of art. They've sold this letter between these two great artists, van Gogh and Gauguin. They've sold it for 210,000 euros. That's about $237,000, and it's well over 2 million rand. That's amazing, right? So in the letter, which was brought to Paris on Tuesday and then bought there by the Vincent van Gogh Foundation, which will display it in the museum in Amsterdam, the artist van Gogh wrote the letter to Emile Bernard in 1888 during their stay at the French city of Arles, where the foundation also has a museum. The letter, written within a week, also included Frenchman Gauguin. He joined van Gogh at the Dutchman's house in Arles, and tells Bernard of their discussions on art and their work. Now, here's an actual quote from the letter. I'm not going to do it in the Dutch accent that van Gogh probably had, because it will be very horrible for you to hear, yeah? But listen, so he goes, "Now, something that will interest you. We've made some excursions in the brothels, and it's likely that we'll eventually go there often to work," the letter says. At the moment,
to work.
At the moment, Gauguin has a canvas in progress of the same night cafe that I'd also painted, but with the figures seen in the brothels. It promises to become a beautiful thing. So wow. these guys were attending the most dodgy places of ill repute for some action.
Did you hear that? Those seven eloquent, beautiful lines. Nowadays, that would be summarized to two lines in a rap song. Yo, gonna hit up the club, gonna do my work, gonna flip it, suck it, rock it. That's all.
Listen to you. That's all it's gonna be. In fact, I want anyone who is rich enough to own a Van Gogh painting anywhere in the world right now and thinks, "Oh, look at my marvelous art," to just remember, whenever they look at that art, that what they should be hearing is not classical music or anything like that. What they should be hearing is loud orgasms and sex. That's what you should be hearing. You should be hearing this.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what's going on in a Van Gogh painting, whether you like it or not. So, you know what? Stop pretending that.
Yeah, right.
What's that?
Talking about brothels, have you guys been to the strip clubs downtown?
What?
Oh, here we go.
What a transition.
Jesus, thank you. What do you know that we don't? Tell us about your knowledge.
I've been to one or two.
What, now during lockdown?
No. Jesus. Not during lockdown. I think it was the first year when I moved to Joburg. I had my experiences there.
Downtown, you mean in town? You mean like...
In what? Town, like, where's the Royale? Is that Hillbrow?
Mm-hmm.
I think Hillbrow, yes.
Yeah, I prefer not to go to Hillbrow, but you go ahead. You knock yourself out.
How was it?
Yeah.
See, I think you need to see it for yourself.
No, see, I hate strippers. We know this.
But the vibe, you know, the ambiance.
Oh, really? Is that what you go there for, the ambiance?
There's more than just strippers. You might just get some inspiration.
Yeah, there's stripper sweat.
Oh, Sia, really? You know what? You sound like such a hater.
I think it's just... this is, you are lower than the strippers, yeah. Right? Imagine you are sitting there and then next thing, just a bead of sweat lands on you. Oh.
What's wrong with you? You know, you have no appreciation for strippers, and they work hard.
They really do. They really do. And I remember this one stripper, she had a dance routine to Sarafina. That's impressive. You can't find this at the Grand. I mean, she put in so much work. She had like school uniform on, and I was like, this is where the talent is at. Yeah.
She was Lelani Khumalo.
Yes. That's fantastic. I would go just to see that. That's great.
Yes.
I haven't been to a strip club for some time. I think I went in November last year or somewhere around there. But obviously, a lot of guys are missing that, eh?
Yeah.
Because they've been stuck with their wife, and they look at the wife and they're like, I miss those strippers.
Oh, that's Prince Charles right now.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure.
You don't think Camilla's enough for him?
No, Camilla's the side plate. The guy needs action.
Wow.
Oh, man. Why are we talking about Prince Charles's sex life? What a horrible thing to discuss.
The way we have, like, segued so much this morning.
Well, let me tell you about something really important, because we've been talking nonsense. But here's something useful for you. Today at 10 a.m., we're launching a new podcast series. I know people love these, and all of our podcast series are available on cliffcentral.com. But this one today, brand new, it's called FNB Business Talk. FNB created this podcast to help entrepreneurs navigate the new normal that we find ourselves in as a result of COVID-19. And Bulelo, I know what you're going to say, but try to resist the temptation to criticize the term new normal.
Please go on.
All right. Property mogul and CEO of Innate Solutions, Lynette Ntuli, speaks to various South African business leaders and helps experts to get information to you during these challenging times. You can get practical tips on how to overcome the challenges around accessing funding for SMEs, learn about cash flow management, and the resources that are available to entrepreneurs pre- and post-lockdown. Plus, the lowdown on tax relief packages and how non-compliance could hinder your business from receiving funding. We know about this, right, Pinky, because of TERS.
Yeah.
If you haven't been paying your taxes, you could be in some big trouble. You could find it very difficult to receive the funding that you might need to pay your staff. So you have to be compliant. And this podcast will help you figure it out. Listen live today at 10 a.m. or get all the podcasts at cliffcentral.com on our app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's FNB Business Talk. It sounds really good. Featuring Lynette Ntuli and various South African business leaders. Go and take a look at that today. 10 a.m. is when it goes live, and you can listen to it whenever it suits you. That's good news. That's useful information. Awesome. All right. Oh, so much to do. So many things to talk about this morning. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about something that we've raised before on the show, and it's something that's affecting a number of people. Now, we spoke to somebody not so long ago who was trapped in Bali. We spoke to another person who was trying to get out of South Africa back to Hong Kong for work. But today, we're going to talk to Jamie Demira Ashton, who's experienced a horrible repatriation flight back to South Africa. So imagine being stuck in a foreign city trying to get home, but you don't receive the right communication around what will happen. We've heard stories like this, but unfortunately for Jamie, she was stuck in a similar situation and wants to share her story this morning, not to name and shame those who made her scenario worse, but to remind us to not forget dignity for our fellow man and empathy for people who are stuck in tough situations. So Jamie visited Germany for an initial six-week holiday. She runs her own business in Cape Town. She and her husband left for their holiday in February 2020. They were scheduled to get back to South Africa in mid-March, just as the initial three-week lockdown was going to end. And while in Germany, they've had to make ends meet and stay with family, friends. It's been an absolute nightmare. Jamie, tell us what happened in the story from there.
Yeah, so it's been a really interesting adventure from there. Since being locked down in March, when the news first came through, essentially a week delay where we keep finding out what's possibly happening a week or two from now in South Africa and needing to make plans on the other side from there.
How did it work in terms of flights? Because I heard it was a nightmare just trying to find out whether there were flights, and if there were, they could be cancelled at any minute. There were no communications. I mean, you don't have to be diplomatic about this, and you don't have to mention any names. But was Durko any use at all?
So it was exceptionally difficult to get hold of people. I mean, I up to this point have still not received communication back from the South African embassy in Germany. Even the citizen in distress emergency line, you call it, and it just says this number does not exist. Durko, I think there was a single spokesperson for the whole of Germany who ended up getting it back to me, but communication was spotty here and there. And also, if you ask for clarification or communication on anything, you get very short, terse, please stop sending me emails, which is difficult when you're stuck far away.
That's not acceptable. And you know what? You can be as diplomatic as you like. I don't have to be. These are South African citizens. This is what people pay tax for, so that if they're stuck in some country, their government will help them out.
Yeah.
It's appalling that this had to happen to you. So, okay, while you're there, You don't know when you're going to get back. You don't know how you're going to get back. What do you do in the meantime? You don't have endless amounts of money. Where do you stay? How do you survive?
Yeah, I think it's each to their own. I was lucky enough that we had some tendrils of people far in the distance. So I ended up staying with distant friends of family that I'd never met before, but were kind enough to let me into their homes. But a lot of people were forced to simply keep paying money or trying to find people who would take them in for free. And that's one of the places where I think community came in a really big way, where South Africans started banding together all over the world and helping one another out in places where the government wasn't stepping in and giving us information. And this network essentially became a means of survival for many, where accommodation was offered and information about how these processes work got figured out from the ground up as well.
Jeez, so you have to rely on the goodwill of other people.
Absolutely.
How much did the flight eventually cost you?
It was a 17,000 rand flight, one way, with SAA. We essentially got just over a week's notice in order to pay for it. And even then, when we did pay for it, it took huge delays in order to get the e-ticket from SAA. I actually only got the e-ticket 2 days before my flight and then still had to get transport through to the city that we were flying from. And after that, obviously, as well, with a technical delay on Friday, when we were left, the 39 of us stranded in Frankfurt, SAA essentially said, "This is a state flight. We're not responsible. Please look after yourselves. If and when until we get a flight for you back home."
Oh, my God.
So that became an exceptional thing on top of it as well.
Were there people left behind?
Yeah, 39 of us were left in Frankfurt after the flight on Saturday. There were two repatriation flights on Saturday, and we essentially, after being seated on a plane on Friday, were not allowed to fly home on Saturday afternoon.
You have got to be joking.
No.
This must be... like the levels of anxiety must go through the roof.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, firstly, on Friday, we were on the seats. The plane got delayed by 6 hours, and then we were told to disembark, which is a stressful enough thing when you're stuck on there. Then you get to the airport with all these buses on Saturday morning, and you see the queue starting to not move, and you see people starting to be turned away, and some people are going through. There's people who are like breaking down into tears because they've got funerals they need to go back to, and family that's been really ill, and that's the reason they've spent this money to get home. And you're just getting stuck and left behind. And then when the airline that was meant to be responsible for you is a state-run airline and kind of a representation of your country, literally put their hands up and it's like, "We can't even help you, stuck in the expensive city that you're in. Write your name and email address on the scrap of paper and we'll get in touch whenever we can."
Oh my God. What a horrible scenario.
It was what it was, Gareth.
Did you break down? Did you cry? You must have been pretty upset. I know I would be.
I was upset, but luckily what happens to me is that I go into organizational mode. So I got everybody's numbers and email addresses. I essentially created a WhatsApp group and from there became the coordinator between all 39 and SAA and Durko. I spent 11 hours with SAA on Sunday and essentially got in everybody's details that was needed from the rest of the group in order to get us home. And I think just that like fire of like, this is a problem, gotta make this happen, is probably one of the only reasons I didn't end up breaking down.
My God, I'm sorry. What a horrible situation for the people responsible, because there are people who are meant to be responsible for situations like this, to leave you guys in. And so many like you, it's just unacceptable. I'm glad that you are safe. I'm glad that you seem to have found a way through this despite the disaster that you've had to deal with.
Yeah.
So what's on the horizon? Because you do have a business that you got to run. What's happened to that?
Luckily, I have a very good business partner who can help. Our employees have been fortunate enough to go remote. There are challenges along the way. For example, we started going into the office to give everybody devices so that they could work from home, and found out that our office had been broken into during lockdown and that all our gear was gone. It's things like that where you're really far away from home, you can't get in touch. The police aren't helping at home. The government isn't helping you far away. And it becomes a breakdown across the board. But it's running smoothly for now. We've gotten everything.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, small mercies, right?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Jamie. What a horrible what a nasty experience for you from top to bottom. You are one of the bravest people. And I hope that nothing horrible happens to you for the rest of this year, because this is more than enough. This is your share for the next 10 years, in fact. You should just have a free ride.
That would be great. If you could organize that.
You know what? I'll do my best. Jesus. I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
Is everybody else back?
Yeah, we managed to get all 39 on the flight, and we are all now in quarantine in Cape Town. So that was interesting. We ended up being allowed to fly with KLM, which was fascinating because all external airlines had been banned from flying back into South Africa at this point. Yeah. But SAA managed to organize a flight back for us with KLM, and now we're here. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you for talking to us this morning. At least there's a happy ending to this story, because it could have been much, much worse. I shudder to think, but it could have been much, much worse. So thank you. Jamie, pleasure to speak to you. Wow. What a story. What a thing to go through. Jamie Demetra Ashton and a lot of other South Africans who are just struggling to get home. We all complain about lockdowns here. We all say, oh, lockdown's been really hard. I'm sure that those people who were stuck in airports, who were relying on the kindness of strangers, some of them must have been looking at their budget going, oh, my God, this is going to take me years to recoup. Those people, they weren't even stuck in their homes. The things that we've been complaining about, they would have loved to have had a problem with. Jesus.
Just being out of your comfort zone so much financially.
My goodness.
Just the unknown of it all.
Yeah,
all of that is a big burden.
No, awful. Just awful.
I like
awful,
that
awful.
Jamie went into the whole organizational mode. That's excellent. You need that kind of friend. I need more people like that in my life. Because the default setting is, wah, let me cry like a baby.
Once
don't worry about it. You've got Jamie going.
Well, somehow, love that. Somehow Mbulelo always manages to take the emotion right out. You're so good at that.
We need to get Jamie's details. I need her on speed dial for the drama queens and kings I have in my life.
So
you know, Mbulelo, I think you should enter Survivor.
Oh, no.
I want to see how you will survive when you have a massive snake bite. You're like, you know what, actually, no time to cry. You know, it's
let's
just
cut
going
this
to
leg off.
Just cut my leg off.
Well, here's a much less kind and conciliatory note from Chris. He says, SAA can go and suck a bag of dicks. I loved flying with them. I basically only flew with them while I was traveling. They won't see a cent from me anymore. And I feel the same way, Chris. I'm with you.
A whole bag, huh?
Yeah, a whole bag of dicks.
Wow.
And Ruth's saying, why is SAA still an issue? Why is there even still an SAA? Yeah. Yeah, that's the question. I don't know the answer. Maybe we can try for an answer in the Burning Platform, which is coming up next. We have our return champions, Canthan Pillay, and who else is on this morning? See, hang on, I've got it. Mhlanganisi. Mhlanganisi Madlongolwana, who's been on before, and the two of them are always interesting because they argue, they don't just agree. And they both have interesting takes on what is happening around us. So we'll talk a little bit about all the big stories in South African news. We'll talk about Cyril's announcements last night. We'll talk about how the COVID epidemic is proceeding and also the case against former President Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma. There was some good news this week. A couple of people were arrested for the VBS scandal as well. And it's getting ever closer to the guys in the EFF. You can tell because they've ratcheted up their own discourse and dialogue to feverish pitch. They're busy saying, oh, no, Cyril must be held personally responsible if anyone else dies of COVID. Huh. Yeah, we're going to listen to a bunch of people who ripped off the old and vulnerable in Limpopo. We're going to listen to you guys when it comes to who cares about life.
The Louis Vuitton addicts.
The Louis Vuitton addicts and the Cristal champagne drinkers.
Alala. Yeah,
those are the people we need to hear from in a crisis.
And people the kings of the Durban July.
The kings of the Durban July. That's right. Kitted out in their suits and sunglasses and fancy shoes, telling us how much they care about the poor and how we need to redistribute wealth. Well, we'll start with you. How about that? And we'll start with the wealth that isn't even yours. But let's
nationalize the Christian Dior.
Ah, yes, exactly. Let's go to that. All right, so all of that coming up on The Burning Platform next. CliffCentral.com. Well done for waking up this morning, despite the cold. You got to start somewhere. This is where your day begins. CliffCentral.com.